Well, the verse is John chapter 1, verse 12, the second half, which simply says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Simon.
Great. Well, thanks for having me again. I've really enjoyed these last 3 weeks meeting together and looking at these big questions, honest questions, we could say. And our honest question today is this one. How do we cope with the pressure to perform? And what I mean by the question is, when it's when the pressure's on you to get results, either professionally, or it could be in family life, or friendships, or relationally, when the pressure's on you to get results, how do you not get crushed by that? Either be deflated at failure or too puffed up by success. How do we deal with that kind of pressure to perform? And to kind of attack this question, I'm going to ask us a few sub-questions along the way, and three questions for us. Question one, who has the best recipe for dealing with pressure? Okay, I'm going to introduce you to three people. First person is Sam Warburton. Sam Warburton was a Welsh rugby player. He was captain of Wales, age 23, kind of youngest captain of his country. He won tournaments and Grand Slams. In 2011, he took his country to the best World Cup place they'd ever had, age 24. He was named player of the tournament. He captained the Lions twice, which is like all the best players from Britain and Ireland playing together. He'd never lost a series. He's an OBE, blah, blah, blah. Basically, very, very successful at what he does. He's performed at the highest level. But there's another side to his story. His autobiography, which I really enjoyed reading, begins with his thoughts the night before the biggest game of his career, the night before the second test against New Zealand, playing for the Lions. So biggest game of his career, and he felt like this the night before. 2 a.m, can't sleep. The witching hour when the darkness comes flooding in. If my body is only at 70% fitness, my mind feels around half that. I'm exhausted, but also wired, antsy, yet craving rest. The doubts and questions are never far away. Sam Warburton shouldn't be captain. Sam Warburton shouldn't be playing. Sam Warburton's past it. What I know is there are plenty of people who think that. What I fear is that they might be right. And he goes on to say, 80% of his career he didn't enjoy. At 2 a.m, night before the biggest game of his career, he's on the phone to his mum back in Wales, crying, saying he can't cope with it. He achieved all that in his sport, but when his sense of worth is found in how good he performs, it crushed him. Am I good enough to be here? Do I belong here? Or am I an imposter? Option number two. Who is the best recipe for dealing with pressure? Johnny Wilkinson. I apologise, all the options are sporty, but I spend all my day on BBC Sport, so I might as well make that useful. Johnny Wilkinson, he's the all-time, or was the all-time highest international points scorer. You know, won the World Cup, 4 Six Nations trophy. He was the kind of 2003 darling of the nation. He scored that winning drop goal against Australia. And he was asked, how did it feel to win the World Cup like that? You were the one who kicked the ball through the post. You were the hero. He replied, I could not have felt more empty. He was back home in his home in Newcastle later on, sitting in his jacuzzi, and he said, I could not have been less happy. He was prodded on this, why, Johnny? And he said this, the nature of sport is that you live constantly between two pillars of judgment, your last game and your next game. So see, he's achieved all that, but inside he feels empty because he's got to go out again and do it all over again, exhausted on this treadmill of proving himself, living constantly between two pillars of judgment, his last game, his next game. Okay, that's Johnny Wilkinson. Option three, Debbie Flood. Who has the best recipe for dealing with pressure? Well, Debbie Flood is a world championship and Olympic rower, very successful in her field. World championships, she won 3 golds. At the Olympics, she went to Athens and Beijing and got 2 silvers. And then it got to the highest platform of her career at London 2012. Home crowd, big expectations. We all know that if Team GB are good at anything, it involves sitting down. That's our thing, sitting down. But her boat went out, big expectations to go and get the gold, and they flopped publicly. Didn't even podium. I've actually heard Debbie speak about this a few years afterwards, actually, in this building, actually. And she said, for others in her boat, it destroyed them, that failure. But for her faith in Jesus Christ meant it was okay. She wasn't crushed by it. She said it didn't keep her awake at night. Looking back on it, she said it doesn't sting now. Because she said she was happy knowing that God loves her, and that's her identity. So she's okay with both failing and succeeding, knowing that Jesus has died for her, and that is the most important thing in her life. So she can just go and get in the boat and enjoy it. Okay, I've given us three options. Who is the best recipe for dealing with pressure? Don't answer out loud, answer in your head. Warburton, Wilkinson, or Debbie Flood. Okay, question two. Who are you most like? It can be hard, can't it? I see something of myself in all three of them. But A, I like to think I could score a winning drop goal. Are you like Sam Warburton? You can't enjoy it because you have to perform. And you're left feeling, do I belong here? Lots of us might have that feeling. Maybe you join a new team at work. Maybe you start a new project. And the kind of team where the culture is that everyone contributes. It's a very inclusive environment. But the secret truth you don't want anyone to realise is, I don't have anything to contribute. Or maybe you start a new job and you feel like there's this whole new system of communicating with colleagues. There are these in-jokes, these kind of cultural norms. Who's really in charge around here? And we ask, what's my place here? What do I have to do to make it on the in-crowd? Maybe it's at the work social or the dreaded Christmas do at work. These people I've been working with all year, suddenly turns out we don't have that much to talk about. Am I the type of person that people want to sit next to at the work party? Or am I one of those people that actually everyone wants to avoid? Do I belong here? And lots of us have that anxiety about being found out. Apparently, 70% of women and 50% of men say they have imposter syndrome. It's the feeling that you shouldn't be there, you're not good enough, and at any moment, you're going to get called out, a tap on the shoulder, maybe at work, at a pub, whatever. Imposter syndrome. I think that's what Warburton was dealing with. Second option, are you like Johnny Wilkinson, feeling like you're living between those two pillars of judgment? Your last game and your next game. Only as good as your last work performance. I spoke before to those who are working in sales on this subject. And they said in a results-driven business where you have to generate revenue, the first of the month can be a feeling of dread. Because you're back to £0 on the sales board. Last month, you might have climbed Everest. Well, this month, you've got to do it again. Only as good as your last game. It's a type of feelings we have when we face the annual review. Has it been a good performance year? Pay rise and promotion. Been a bad performance year? And the review fills me with dread. For some of us, our life feels like a treadmill of proving ourselves, living between two pillars of judgment. That's Johnny Wilkinson. Or C, are you like Debbie Flood? Having a faith that gives you an ingredient for a successful, happy life that's bulletproof come success or failure, praise or criticism. Having a security that means you don't have to prove anything by your own performance. And for the next few moments, I'd like to share with you the difference this makes from the passage in the Bible we're looking at today. Okay, so consider first the difference Jesus makes to that feeling of always living between two pillars of judgment. Let me read again from John chapter 1, verse 12, printed on our handouts. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay, you don't need to perform. He's given it all to you. Verse 12, do you see that there? He gave the right. It wasn't earned. He gave it. Friends, the heart of the Christian message is a really simple one. God the Son, Jesus Christ, came to earth. He lived the perfect life we never could. He performed the perfect life we never could. He died on the cross to take on the judgment and guilt we deserve for our guilt and shame, our shortcomings and our sin, so we could be free from that burden. We could be forgiven, restored by God. Jesus made himself nothing, that we could have everything. And that means the best gift I could want in the whole world, a relationship with God, forgiveness for all my sins, taking all my guilt and shame away, Jesus has given that gift to me. You don't need to perform for God because Jesus Christ has done it all for you. And that changes everything. Or think about the difference Jesus makes to that feeling of imposter syndrome. The one of, do I actually belong here? What do people think of me? Well, ask, what does God think of me from this verse? Verse 12, he gave the right to become children of God. Think of how much you see parents dote on their little children. Through Christ, that's how God looks at you. He made himself nothing for me. I mean, look at that Christmas manger. Jesus loves you enough to become a baby in a pig's trough. Look at the Easter cross. Jesus loves you enough to sacrifice his own life for you. If you're trusting in Jesus before God, you're not an imposter. He loves you so much, he calls you his brother, his sister. It's a family bond that can't be broken. A place in God's family so secure, you never need to feel like an imposter with God. Because to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the person whose opinion matters most in the world loves me, not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done. So question two, who are you most like? Question three, our final question before we finish. What difference would it make to you if Jesus defined how you thought about yourself? Okay, so imagine for a moment you see your life like Debbie Flood sees hers. I guess this afternoon none of us are probably going to get in a rowing boat and try and have a go at a gold. But whatever pressures you'll face to perform this afternoon at work, imagine if her view was like yours. Debbie Flood tweeted out an article from a fellow rower who's also a Christian called Anastasia Chitty, another GB rower. She said this, let me read it. I know no joy like the one I experience in a boat, paddling stroke after stroke, kilometre after kilometre. There's a stillness in my soul that's impossible to describe. There's a peace that frees me to feel so very alive. It's a joy so pure that I can only understand it as a feeling of his pleasure, God's pleasure. It's a wonderful gift. Yet, so often out of the boat, I forget this joy. Instead, my mind becomes consumed with the need to prove myself. I spend too long reflecting on the frustrations and disappointments of the previous season. It can be tiring, but I know there is another way. I can row in my own strength, but at the risk of becoming exhausted and forgoing the joy I love. Or I can choose to stop looking to prove myself, swapping human strength for Christ's. The justification achieved for me by Jesus as he died on the cross and rose to life again, it far outweighs any victory I could win myself. This isn't to say I can't be the driven athlete that this opportunity demands. Indeed, I'm driven. That's not going to change. I want to represent my country at the Olympics. But it does challenge me to entrust my justification to Christ and to row in God's good pleasure. I'm encouraged in the tough times to abandon myself to the Lord and simply enjoy it. Well, maybe we think all very well if you're doing something you love like her, what a privilege she has. But what about the nitty-gritty of London business life? Well, let me tell you another story about a friend of mine called Mike. Again, as you listen, imagine the difference it would make to you if his faith was yours. The first half of Mike's career was very successful. Years ago, he actually worked in the West Wing, at the very centre of power in the White House. He had direct report to the president. It was a job of respect, prestige, money. He was living his dream. He thought, praise God. But then for the second half of his career, he moved to London. And everything fell apart. He had business disaster after business disaster. In a few months, he'd lost his entire life savings. And at rock bottom, he goes to see a Christian friend who asks him, what are you most afraid of? He says, losing all my money. And the friend says, no, tell me, what are you really most afraid of? And Mike said, people thinking I'm a failure. What Mike told me makes such a difference to him is actually thinking back to Christmas and that manger, thinking to Easter and the cross, and knowing because of Jesus, I'm in God's family. He loves me. I'm not a failure in his sight. So, our final question. What difference would it make to you if Jesus defined how you thought about yourself? That's a question I'll leave us with as we wander back to work this afternoon. Imagine what difference it would make to how you felt about the pressures you face at work, how you judged your past year, how you imagined your future, how you felt about your God. Let me pray. Our Father, we praise you so much that Jesus came into this world to free us from our burdens that feel so heavy, the burden of feeling like an imposter, the burden of living between pillars of judgment and needing to perform, to have a status and an identity and a security. We thank you that Jesus came into this world to give the right to become children of God. We thank you so much for him. Pray for my brothers and sisters here that they would consider their lives through that faith and the pressures they feel in their own lives, they would know through the faith of Christ. Amen.